are.
Isn't common sense supposed to be common? The struggle is real, my friends. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Back in 2016, we put out a call for nominations, trying to capture the diversity of background, of experience, of the American electorate, the people that aren't currently represented. We got over 10,000 nominations. Out of those 10,000 nominations, we found Alexandria.
My brother told me that he had sent my nomination in the summer, but I was like literally working out of a restaurant.
She was like literally working out of a restaurant. We like literally do a radio show. Casting calls, or I want to talk about that coming up in this hour. Casting calls. Biden is part of that casting call. So I want to talk about his run for the presidency, too. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. We have a lot on the docket for this first hour. Well, it's sort of a local hour. I mean, it's a local hour for the state of Utah, but we have so many more people listening in. And I'm actually grateful for that, because what's going on here is probably going on there.
Yep.
Rest assured.
Absolutely.
So I want to start off this show. I've asked Tony Casilio to come on and talk just for a second about what's going on with Cedar Redmond, with the changing of the mascot. Because everybody listening, I'm sure, in your state, you've probably been affected by a changing of the mascot and how it works and why they do it. And let's just say dollar signs and pushing these decisions through and answering to PC nonsense. And so, Tony, tell me a little bit about where we're at with this, because we brought it up on the show a couple of times now, and I would like to know where we're at. That'd be great. Hi, Tony.
Sure. Thank you.
You bet.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Well, first off, we have organized a group called Voice, Voices of Iron County Education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a group of concerned citizens in Iron County that it started out with the Redmond name, and we've dug deeper into the corruption of the Iron County School District. And we are currently fighting them and try to change the name back or regain the name back, keep the name as Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
Their decision was to change it to Reds, which anybody that looks that up, that actually is defined as being offensive
yeah.
and racist, as opposed to Redmond, which is not.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. But going back to what you were talking about with the political agenda,
mm-hmm.
The school district here decided to make this fake narrative and mislead the public and tell them that kids were being bullied and harassed.
Mm.
We took it upon ourselves as an organization to dig deeper into that. We've got grammar reports from the local police departments and the state education school board
mm-hmm.
that prove that false. And that alone, no matter where you stand on the name, should make every person, every resident of this county and every person across this country angry.
You're right.
Angry that they lie for their own personal narratives and agendas.
And
we want to get out there and let people know that we're not going to take it anymore. We're not going to back down,
mm-hmm.
and we will see this fight to the end. We have asked for the resignation of Shannon Delaney, the superintendent, Rich Nielsen, the secondary education director,
mm-hmm.
and John Dodds, the principal of Cedar High School. That is our current recommendations, and as of yesterday, Rich Nielsen did the correct thing, and he resigned.
Wow. Wow. That's huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's huge right there.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's almost that's like a confession, too.
That's just kind of a strange development. So the reason that you're saying this, and so for those skeptics out there, listening to the tape of them talking and having a meeting about this was very telling, was very, very telling. So you're not just coming up
yes.
with this. this decision had been made, it sounded like, long before, and it was pushed through, but at the same time sort of given this faux, we have to reach out and make sure people are heard. We're really not listening. That was the message I got from the tapes.
Exactly, and I don't know when exactly this false narrative began,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that on the August 28th tape that everyone should go listen to, it talks about how the decision has already been made, but hey, let's put a pause on this
mm-hmm.
until we push this $92 million bond for our school. And so they were trying to get money out of the school first, out of the voters,
and then
change the name.
Yeah, I noticed that. So, that was huge. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty. It sounded pretty calculated, and they certainly, I don't think, were interested in hearing what anyone had to say. It was more of a let's get this through. There's money at stake, right?
Exactly, and they are, I believe, currently trying to put together another bond for the near future. So,
okay, and so how do people reach you? What's the name of the group again?
Voice. It's Voices of Iron County Education.
Okay.
We're on Facebook and Twitter. We have a web page.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you. Web address, do you have that?
I actually don't have it on me right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Not a problem. Not a problem. When we get that, we'll get it out to the audience, too. And
It is on Facebook, so if you just type in Voice, Iron County, and then you can get to our link from there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's actually a really long web address because of the way it's linked up. But if you just do a search for Voices of Iron County Education, it'll come up.
Okay, perfect. Tony, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on. And it is. This is happening all over the country. So people should really understand. And it's not just about the name, which I think, by the way, honors what we're talking about instead of the other way around, which is usually what they're accusing. Whenever we name a mascot, I actually think it's in honor of what we're naming it after. But this is happening all over the country. And we need to be real aware of it, and also what's behind it and what's going on behind it. Just like what you said, there are very important elements that the public isn't being told, and it's being actually concealed. That is a huge problem, and we should all be worried about that. So, I appreciate.
I agree.
You.
I think that we've all kind of been asleep at the wheel and kind of had our blinders on, but this is kind of. Woke up at least this small little community and hopefully others across the country.
Right. Thanks so much, Tony. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for paying attention to this.
You betcha. Thanks. It is. It's a huge PC, weird, strange, and it's going on more and more and more.
The part that bothers me the most is that these people in our education system are teaching our children that it's okay to lie to get what you want. That really bothers me.
That listening to the tape of them talking was eye-opening. It really was. It was eye-opening. And your mouth was dropping, and you're thinking, I can't believe that they're actually talking. Like, they have to know they're being recorded. It's going to be a public meeting. Anyway, I appreciate his efforts. Interviewed Obama's half-brother, Malik, yesterday, and his attorney was here, and some women from his organization, and those he travels with. It was a full house in here. Questions needed to be rather, I would say limited toward his brother. He's uncomfortable talking about Obama.
Yes, he is.
Very uncomfortable. And even though on his Twitter and everything else, boy, he really has taken the we want a DNA test sort of angle on that. And I don't blame him, because Obama does look very much like Frank Marshall Davis.
Yes.
Nothing like him or his father. And I think that it's important to know that he's pretty vocal about the opposition. But in person, it's a little bit more difficult. I think he feels more uncomfortable talking about him.
Yeah, so. I don't think he's trying to hide anything.
Oh, no.
He just doesn't like to talk about it in public.
Yeah. So, but it was interesting, and he's a very nice man. His views, it really was intriguing to me yesterday to understand how he went from coming over here in the revolutionary stance of bringing his ideology in and his views, and then also coming over for the milk and honey of America, which they all do. And then how did that switch? Because he's very different in his politics. He's pretty conservative compared to Obama. And now they don't have hardly any relationship at all.
No.
And Obama, pretends that he's not there. So, the rest of the Kenyan family. That's why, maybe that's not,
It is interesting how that goes, though, when people come here. They come here because of the American dream, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get here, and one of the first things they're taught in our system is how to take advantage of it financially.
Yeah.
And it twists their head, I think. And then they get into that realization that, oh, well, hey, they're just going to give me this and give me that.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, they realize how stuck they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that realization wakes a lot of them up, and some are beyond that already.
I totally agree. When Obama became president, one of the first things he did was move towards the Freedom of Information Act information to squelch anything from his past. That is a huge, huge thing.
Sure.
You don't see a lot of people going to the efforts that he did to do that. And there isn't a whole lot of people that, if you've noticed, that ever came forward. I knew him in college. I was friends with him. I grew up with him. Nothing. And he was surrounded by people who had who were really communists. And that's important to know. It's important to know how he came up through the ranks, so to speak, and became a politician. It's like the Alexandria casting call. He was made. Biden, for instance. Here you have Joe Biden running for president today. What a joke, right? The guy that dropped out in '88 because of plagiarism and his crime bill that promoted actually racism.
Yep.
So I'll have to play that clip in the show with Dr. Duke. But when Dr. Duke comes on, but did you know that he has not spent only about a year in the private sector? The rest of his career has all been government taxes paid for by you to employ him. And that's pretty par for the course for a lot of these people that feel government is the answer, always the answer, and controls the answer. So,
and was never meant to be that way.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll be talking a little bit about Biden, too, when Dr. Duke comes on. Today we have a really full day. We have Chris Ann Hall on the national show. Then we have Carrie Solomon, the producer of Unplanned. We're going to talk to him about, he'll open up about why he chose that story, why the timing, all kinds of things like that. And then we'll have Dr. Warren Farrell. Dr. Warren Farrell has a little bit more of a liberal bent. He was part of the women's movement and then started talking about the boy crisis and the man crisis. So we'll be talking to him about that. Should be kind of interesting to get his take, since we're probably on opposite sides of the aisle a little bit. And then Dr. Duke. So it'll be a good show today. A couple of things coming up. I want to talk about Pineview, the sentencing, and here for the high school, for the homemade bomb that was in the high school, and then all kinds of stuff coming up on the show, as you can probably imagine. You can call up to 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. So glad you are. I have Uncle Milty in studio with me, and we were just discussing on the break a little bit. Oh, by the way, before I go there, make sure that that you get over to Dr. Diet. And the reason being is because, well, there's lots of great reasons, but they have classes. They have classes on celery, how to use celery to lose weight and maybe get some really, really great results. In fact, that class is tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at Dr. Diet Wellness Center. You can go right to that class, and you can get a free fat blaster shot when you go. And so you can also go to Dr. Diet on Saturday, May 4th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can enter to win prizes and all kinds of things that they're doing. They're pretty amazing. I lost 33 pounds personally and kept it off, and so I'm one of their biggest advocates because I love what they do and how they do it, and I did it quickly, and I was able to safely, and I was able to keep it off. And sometimes we just need that push, and we also need somebody to have some accountability for us. So they have many, many things that they do, and their juicing classes are incredible. Get over there. It's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. over at Dr. Diet Wellness Center on St. George Boulevard, and you can also call them 628-DIET. 628-DIET. You can enter a drawing and get a free fat blaster shot while you're there and learn so much about juicing that you didn't know. I think it's great.
You know, and before we go into the, you know, the news.
Yes.
I would like to say that this is the opening of the registration for the Junior Association of Golfers program here in St. George. And, you know, that program started here in 1998. My son was 12 years old. He was one of the first kids to sign up for that program.
Yeah.
And I watched so many kids go through that program over the years.
My son's been in it.
It's been fantastic.
Yep.
It's really a great program. And golf is a game that breeds a real sense of honor.
Yes. And you know what? My family's really into golfing. So, of course, you know, when you can go golf for a couple of bucks as a teen, it's pretty nice, right? So to be part of this group. But also on that same note, the one thing that my son-in-law was saying was, it's so nice to go out there and it's all respectful. And everybody's so nice to each other and they're so good and dressed nicely. And I don't know, the whole culture of golf actually is really respectable and honored. I think it's just great.
It is. Yeah. It's great for the boys.
Yes. Yes. Which we're going to be talking about today with Dr. Duke and William Farrell is the boy crisis. And boy, talk about if you want your teen to get around some really great kids and adults and then put them in those environments. And they'll only do what they're trained to do. They'll only do it. What I mean by that is if they're kind of good at something or you've introduced them to something, then they'll probably go more, right?
Yep.
Because they won't feel so insecure about trying something new. And so this is a great way to go. I love that you said that because it is pretty great. So we have this sentencing that happened with the, do you remember the school bomb? It didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid involved has gone through this legal process and it came down to sentencing. And a lot of people have real various views on what should have happened in this case. But I do know one of the psychologists on this case. And I think, you know, he got probation and it was a school bomb. It didn't go off. It was a homemade bomb. And they're saying, well, you know, ties to terrorism because he learned how to make it, which from what could be a terrorist website tied to the Islamic State. I remember when it first happened, they were saying ties to terrorism right away. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I thought, no, I didn't think so from the get-go. But they tried to put that label on. And so I was thinking about this case because the psychologist that we've even had on the show was in on this case and as far as giving his testimony on what he thought as he poured through the records. And the conclusion he came to was this child has had a problem with autism for, you know, years. And many have said that, not just him. Many have said that there were some issues, you know. And so I think that this judge took in all of it and said, this is what needs to happen. Maybe this child needs more help than they need to be sent to an adult prison for the rest of their life. And I can certainly see that there are circumstances in which a judge would take in and say, this is not a typical case.
Well, I agree. And you know, our system is supposed to be that way. We're not supposed... It's not always about punishment. I said from the very first time I saw a photograph of this young man that even in the photograph, without seeing him say a word, you can see the look on his face that there's just something not quite all there.
Right.
And so I knew right away. And Judge Westfall has a reputation of being very stern.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to go to probation in a case where so many people were screaming for a prison sentence, there has to be some real justification there. He doesn't just cave in for nothing.
Right, right. And then what plays a part in everybody screaming for that? I saw a post where a girl said, you know, hey, my relative could have been killed. I understand the emotion and I understand all of those things because, you know, I was even personally touched by this story in a lot of ways. And so I can understand those feelings, but I can also separate myself out of that and say that it didn't go off and we need to address why this happened and who this kid is. And if he needs help, then you know what? I think when you're in that courtroom and you're taking everything in, you have to give some thought to how they're viewing all that information coming in and maybe some leeway on what they do because we're so harsh and judgmental. Is it because the media and the way they portrayed this from the beginning?
I think that's part of it. But I think the other part is that especially the people that are yelling out, hey, somebody in my family could have been killed, or this could have happened, or that could have happened. Why didn't those people speak up when they knew this young boy was being bullied all his years in school?
Yeah.
This wasn't something that just started recently.
No.
From early on in elementary school, he was picked on.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows why they tried to normalize him when it was so obvious he had an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did that, they put him in this environment. Kids can be cruel.
Yeah.
And nobody spoke out in his defense in all those years he was picked on.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he finally cracked and did something,
right?
Now it's hang him.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I have my husband as a teacher there at that school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one to be like totally into politics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I totally disagree with what the judge.
Okay.
I mean, if we're catering to this kid and letting him go,
mm-hmm.
and he's on probation for 4 years and out in our community,
mm-hmm.
he didn't succeed this time
mm-hmm.
at it. He's going to figure it out again, and it's going to do, he'll succeed next time.
Right.
And that's going to hang over,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people that decided to let him be on probation.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's, you know, you talk about, oh, the family's kids were there and it didn't go off.
Right.
But what if it did?
Yes.
Like, my children wouldn't mm-hmm. have a father.
Yeah.
My, you know, the hall that it would affect many mm-hmm. of the teachers. And, you know, I just think it's ridiculous. Because if
okay.
we're letting this go,
mm-hmm.
then what else are we going to let go in the future? Because
okay.
we're not he's not learning anything from this. He loves the attention that he's getting. And so mm-hmm. he's going to feed mm-hmm. off of that again.
Okay. And you know what? Many feel like you. I think Uncle Milty wants to address
well,
this.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, he's not getting away with anything. His sentence would have been 5 years to life with the possibility of getting out in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he's undergoing 48 months of intensely supervised probation. And if you're aware of the court system, that's not just getting away with it.
And medical help,
yes.
too, which he hasn't had. So I totally get where you're coming from, caller. I do, because I was personally touched by this as well. And so I understand where you're coming from. The other problem we have with this is if we say to ourselves, well, he could do this and he could do that, then we're going into kind of a thought crime mode where we're penalizing on him on what we think he'll do next. If given the right medical care, then maybe he won't. All I'm saying is that there was enough stuff in this courtroom where a pretty stern judge said, this is what needs to happen, where I would expect that judge to have thrown the book at him. So there's got to be more reasons than what we're aware of as far as why the sentencing occurred, especially with a judge like that. So,
I'm not one of those, like, throw the book at him, throw him in jail
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I hope he gets the help. I mean,
I really do, yeah.
extent of what he's getting done.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope he gets the help. But at the same point, I don't want to hear in 5 years that he's done the same thing.
Right.
But this, you know, like...
Oh, I can understand. Mm-hmm. I can understand.
Like, you know, with my kids growing up in school, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's terrifying that it could have been so close to our home.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I know plenty of kids that are in the autism spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's an excuse.
Yes, and you I also think that's
if
rare,
if we're just barely
too.
Diagnosing them mm-hmm. with this, where's the parents in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, and I
why did you not fight for your kid before?
Right.
Were
well,
you
I,
in the school talking mm-hmm. to the principal?
Yeah.
I think it mm-hmm. stems to the parents too.
Okay, and I also think that cases where autistic kids do things like this is actually more rare than it is the norm. But yes, I understand where you're coming from, and definitely. But I still, at the same time, you know, people get the book thrown at them. They spend 20 years in jail. They get out and they do things. And so I don't know whether doing time or not doing time is going to foreshadow what he would do next anyway. But I do think getting help would be the best course for him right now. He's a kid still.
Right.
So
I absolutely agree with the caller that where do the parents come in here,
yes,
too? Because his autism went undiagnosed for a
years.
Long, long mm-hmm. period of time. And the only reason that happens is if the family tries to hide it.
Could be. So,
yeah.
Thank you. I'm grateful for your call, though. You did voice what a lot of people out there feel, so thank you. I appreciate
thank
that.
You,
you bet. I can understand, but at the same time, sending him to prison, I mean, I don't know. When a kid like this needs a lot of help, I don't know. I'm torn, even though it touched my life personally, too.
Well, the other factor that you can't leave out is if he does anything to violate the probation, and there are dozens of restrictions, he goes to prison.
You're right. You're right. Hi, caller. You have about a minute. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. You know, I have to say I kind of agree with both sides. I really think there should have been a little bit more for the young man. But I don't necessarily I don't think jail is the answer. In fact, I've done extensive studies when I was in college and since then on corrections and youth corrections.
Right.
And I work with youth, you know, currently. And I have found that corrections never correct.
You're right. You're exactly right.
It never does the job. There are ways to get to some kids. Some kids you just can't get to. And I think we owe it to this kid and to everyone who could have been involved in a horrific incident to find out, is he one we can get to?
Right.
Or is this a scenario where, hey, he's going to be dangerous?
Right.
You know, and we need to do that. So, again, I like I said, I kind of agree with the probation and the watching, but I hope it's more than just watching.
Yep.
I really hope that there's some work that gets done.
And what you said about,
you know, he deserves it.
What you said about corrections is, had he gone into corrections and spent his life, a portion of it in prison, and been bullied and taunted and teased and all the things times 100 is what prison would have represented for this kid, then maybe he would have come out more assured of doing something bigger.
Right.
If he can get some help, maybe that wouldn't happen. And so maybe it's in reverse.
Right.
So I appreciate your call. Thank you.
And especially, you know, I've worked with kids with autism a lot.
Right.
And you know, they aren't all the same. However, there are a few things that are.
Okay.
And the biggest thing is they need to feel safe.
Yeah.
If they're not feeling safe, that's when things go wrong.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm so sorry. We have to go to a break. The computer's going to take us off, but thank you so much for calling. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
But it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. Uncle Milty's with me and talking about this. We'll get to that topic in just a second, what we were just talking about with the sentencing of the teen that put the bomb in the school in Pineview High School down here in southern Utah. If you're listening around the country, around the world right now. And there are some different things to talk about with that as well. We'll get to that in just a second. Make sure that if you're in an accident, get to Auto Body Central. I talk about them because I use them myself and really like them. And they're also very honest and they'll do the job quickly. You can choose your provider. Insurance companies won't tell you this, but you can choose your provider if you're in an accident. If you need anything cosmetic done to your car, they are the guys to do it. I love working with these folks and you will too. 817-0949. You can call them and see if they'll if what your problem is on your car, if they can do it, they will tell you if they can do it. They're very upfront. They'll get it done to perfection. They're perfectionists, which I like. But you can call Rob at 817-0949 and get some help with your car. Auto Body Central, stgeorgeautobody.com. I love those guys. We were just talking about this kid, the kid that was sentenced, a 15-year-old, for putting the bomb in Pineview High School. The one thing that I really had a hard time with when this story came out was the automatic ties to terrorism and putting that in everybody's mind. I don't think there was a tie to terrorism. And I remember pointing that out with you on the air. And we were saying, no, you can't jump to that conclusion because it's a great headline and draws people in. And it really did up the anger value, I think. And also, I'm not diminishing the fact that the kid put a bomb in a school. So please don't yell at me for that. I'm not diminishing that. But what we are saying is, are we so hell-bent on justice that we're forgetting the goal? What's the goal? The goal, I would think, would be to make sure that he never does anything like this again. What is the best way to that goal for this kid who has some issues that need to be dealt with medically? Through psychology and everything else? What is the best way to get to that goal? And I think sometimes we just become more about I want him to pay. Well, I want him to not do it again.
Yeah.
And I don't think prison, that will happen for that goal. I think that help in this way, and obviously the judge thought that too, based on the fact that with the autism and everything mm-hmm. else that this kid has, maybe a different understanding of the things he did, maybe a sort of a distant reaction to it as well, and maybe not what another type of kid trying to do something nefarious would have in this case,
sure.
right?
Sure.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Where were the educrats when anyone is being bullied at school?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think that they're actually...
You can see this when you watch any group of children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually...
And I pay these people good money.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the kid wouldn't have been bullied, he wouldn't have got so screwed up.
Right. Right. Except, okay, I like your point, except for the fact of... How much did they know? If the family isn't going in and saying something, how much do they know of what is going on? And so I don't know we can judge that. I know that if anything right now, they're actually taking it more seriously now, each and every case. And so I think that that I don't know what they knew and what they didn't know. It sounds to me as if the family possibly, allegedly, maybe didn't go there, didn't want him to be known for this, and didn't go in for some help.
But
I think the school would have actually done something.
But the teachers uh-huh. and the other students saw what was going on all over.
But they
years.
Could have thought it was being dealt with. How do they know? I mean, not everyone's going to rush to, you know, to the powers that be
year
to let
after
them know.
Year after
I
year.
Don't know. I don't know. So I'm just throwing that out there because we don't know. So
they're not at home. Mm-hmm. They want to have these kids like 8 hours a day at school.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to pick up on behavior.
Yes. Although I think sometimes you're also going to think that it's being dealt with too, or maybe somebody's trying to do something. I don't know. I'm just trying to throw that out there as a possibility. That's all.
Well, I tell you what, anybody that wants to be around other people's kids all day has to be looked at real hard.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thanks. Okay,
I agree with the caller a lot.
I think teachers actually do want to teach. I think that they're confined to what they can teach, and obviously with Common Core, I don't agree with a lot of what's going on in the schools, but at the same time, I don't know what they knew and what they didn't know. And it seems like there was a lot of maybe not being so out with the information. That's why I'm saying that.
Well, the other thing, though, is that people who kind of feel like he's getting away with it,
mm-hmm.
first of all, he served 415 days in juvenile detention.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, probation is not just, oh, have fun and we'll forget about this or you're a good boy for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be intensely supervised during this 4 years. And if he skips a beat,
mm-hmm.
he's going to prison.
Yeah.
So he's gotten away with nothing as of right now.
Okay. And again, what's the goal? If the goal is to make sure he doesn't do it again, I really think that the only way to that goal in this particular case, we're not dealing with a to the degree of having all your senses about you to I don't want to say normal kid because we have autism in our family and as far as extended family goes, and I hate that term normal kid, not normal kid. But what I'm saying is that this isn't a typical case of, like, say, the two kids involved in Columbine. I don't think so. You have differences in this case that I do think need to be addressed. And I'm usually one to be on the opposite side of this, by the way. I mean, honestly, I would probably be leaning more toward, no, he needs to pay for this because he did it and he put people in harm's way. But this case, I think, merits something a little different. And so I can surely appreciate that the judge was looking at all of that when he made this decision. And this isn't a judge that just lets people off. So I think that weighs into maybe looking at the sentencing a little different, that there were things that were known in that courtroom that maybe played into this. But I so appreciate all the sides of this because I believe me, as it touches me personally, I can understand why people would have such varying degrees of thought on this. And it is hard. You know, we're a society that we want to see people pay for their crimes. We see people let off all the time. And I know how frustrating that is because we're in it. We're in this every day, mm-hmm. you know, talking about all these cases where people don't pay. But then what do we weigh in on those decisions too? Is having autism or having these things, how does that contribute to what he did and how he feels about what he did, more importantly? So, you know, there's some differences there too. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, yeah. Uncle Milty, the litany is always no justice, no peace, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I mean, okay.
All these guys, sure. that end up getting killed by police officers. That's mm-hmm. what everybody shouts. No justice, no peace.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize and remember and keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Justice is the system working through what it does. Investigates, mm-hmm. Processes, mm-hmm. Litigates, things like that. That's the justice system. What a lot of people are after, and what this lady at the very front of the segment was after, mm-hmm. is revenge.
Okay.
If it doesn't go the way you mm-hmm. want it to go, mm-hmm. then you want revenge. You don't want justice.
Right. Interesting.
And it for just a little bit, you kind of slipped into that mode just tiny bit, mm-hmm. but. Most people, you know, if they actually stopped and think about it, I think would say, yes, justice was served.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yep.
mm-hmm. he's getting what he's needed.
Right.
He's paying for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that, you know, all these other people want more. They yeah. want more. They want mm-hmm. greater punishment.
I agree.
That's revenge.
Okay, I like that.
Excellent
yeah.
point.
Yeah,
excellent point.
Can't argue with you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it was
that.
A great point.
It really was.
Well, because the justice system did do its mm-hmm. thing here and
yeah.
work.
Yeah. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. I spent 30 years treating the autistic people on the autistic spectrum mm-hmm. disorder. Worked with over 2,000 in schools, homes. I have a few thoughts on this. Number one, you just can't allow them to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not only 5 years probation, that's likely his entire life. So it has to be set up that way.
Right.
You can't have access and so forth. Secondly, you look at the motives. You look at his thinking, figure out what was going on and try to eliminate the motive for doing this and try to motivate him for not doing it. Now, uh-huh. prison for some is a motivator with high-functioning autism. For some, it's not. There are other ways to motivate. But number one is you can't do this again for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
You just set up an environment where that won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that. You know, you say close monitoring, I hope so, but mm-hmm. we need to ensure that. Also, a lot of parents don't try, there's very few, I've never ran into a parent I can think of that actually try to hide the diagnosis, but it probably mm-hmm. goes on. Most of the time, they just don't know what the symptoms are of high-functioning autism. They don't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Many times they're lost in the school districts, too. I've been the first person to point out mm-hmm. we got autism symptomology going on here. So, but there's other ways to motivate other than prison, and prison works for some, but it doesn't work for others, and it doesn't work for a lot of those that are not diagnosed with autism as yeah. well.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for that, Mark. Really appreciate it. Yeah. We'll take the next caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Great points, by the way. Go ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Yes.
Turn that off.
Go right ahead. You're live.
Okay. Do you remember a while back when mm-hmm. they wanted to kill these kids like this? If they were going to be born, they didn't want them born. They wanted them mm-hmm. to abort them.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember that?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this on the show. Sure, where they want to target certain
I'm
groups.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. But I just think that. Is that part of the reason why people are so easily willing to up and jump on being so hard on him?
I don't know.
Do we as a society bring that kind of environment on ourselves by mm-hmm. by being harsh to begin with?
I can certainly understand your point. I actually think in this one, because harm could have been done, possibly severe harm, I think they're just looking at that. And I think they want them to pay. I understand where they're coming from. But the last caller and the caller before it really, I think, kind of nailed that. I understand your broader point. I think that the media also lent a hand to instead of having people understand maybe what this kid was about right away, they started insisting it was terrorism. And that, I think, really hurt how people viewed this as well. So I think there was a couple things going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to be a little more careful.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that the kid can't blame, you know, he can't really be blamed
right.
for doing that. But what happens with the parents? What happens with the school, like you brought up before?
Yeah.
There's a lot of other people that could have been helping this kid and to help him to be a little more calmer. And sometimes they just don't get called.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. I got one more call to squeeze in. Hi, call. You got 30 seconds. Go right ahead. Thank you for the call,
by
the way.
I thought it would be interesting to note that at the time that this incident took place, he was actually attending Success Academy in my daughter's school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering if he was bullied at Pineview and then was transferred over, because this would have been his first year there.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And maybe that's...
They
wouldn't have necessarily known he had a problem.
Okay.
He went back there to do that.
Thank you for that. I'm glad you chimed in. Thank you. Yes, you're right. She's right.
You know, in relation to the caller before... You know, in the last decade especially, the progressive left has motivated people with fear.
Right.
And I think that's what leads to a lot of this, too, is just plain fear. And we've been so accustomed to being motivated by fear by the left that it does get into your head, you know, the fear of this.
And then you have to go back to what is the goal. The goal is to make sure he doesn't do it again. And so I love this conversation because this is a really broad topic right now with our society and what we're exposed to, and then how that plays out in our feelings and emotions about cases and what we would like to have happen. I love the caller about the revenge factor.
Yep.
That's huge. We have to check ourselves and say, what do we want out of this? I think great calls, by the way. Jeez, I'm always blown away. Audience, you guys are just amazing. Thank you. I learned so much from all of you.
Yes.
Really and truly. We'll be right back with Chris Ann Hall. And then we have Carrie Solomon, producer of Unplanned the Movie. And so we'll be talking to him as well. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.